Flag Day, Flag Day. Flag Day up in Lake Wobegon. They were supposed to do the living flag today, but and ordinarily they would, but the town clerk, Viola Torres, decided that people should sign up for this, and they never had before. And you need about 400 people for a decent living flag, people with red, white, or blue caps on, and they stand down in Main Street, and they all crowd in closer than people in Lake Wobegon are comfortable being, with, especially with people they know well. And but she decided they should all sign up for it, and only 200 people signed up. You need about 400, as I say. I mean, if you just had 200 people show up and a band was playing in Main Street on Flag Day, you would have had 600 people. But this rigmarole of signing up and registering and all of that defeated Flag Day this year. It's gone through some difficult times. They let the Grand Oya of the Sons of Canute handle the bullhorn for about 10 years back in the mid-80s, and he was so harsh and so abusive, standing up there on the roof of the Central Building and yelling at people down, you know, if you people can't make a straight line, then we just all better go home. I mean, he was a terrible, terrible person. But in a small town, it's very difficult to remove somebody from office. It just takes decades. And so we went through that, and now we have to go through this. Anyway, it's been on the warm side in Lake Wobegon, and but people are not complaining about the heat or complaining about the mosquitoes or the pollen or the rain that we got here this week. They're just trying to keep a lid on it, you know. Be cheerful, that's their byword. It could be worse, and someday it will be. The grass that was growing out of the left ear of the statue of the unknown Norwegian there on Main Street sprouted a leaf about a week ago. People were astonished. They'd never seen this before. And then a flower, which became a berry, a little red berry. And Mrs. Tommerdahl picked the berry. There was a sign saying not to, but she went ahead and did it anyway. And she took it home. People said, you don't know what that is. You don't know what that is. Don't eat that, for heaven's sake. Well, she didn't, but her husband, Wayne Warning Track Tommerdahl, the slugging right fielder of the Lake Wobegon Whippets, ate it on his cereal. Who knows how? He just put it in his Wheaties last Saturday, and he batted in the winning runs in the Whippets' victory on Sunday over the Holdingford Bulls, and by hitting the highest pop-up ever seen in Lake Wobegon. It was just a powerful, high pickup, pop-up, just beyond second base. Just went way up, and it didn't come down, and disappeared in a cloud up there. And the pitcher for the other team motioned to the shortstop to get under it, and he did, but his neck got stiff looking up into the sky, and he was blinded by sun. And meanwhile, the Whippets were running around the bases. They were down by two runs, and now three of them came in, and the first baseman had to come over and stand under the pop fly. And when the ball finally came down, it had frost on it. And he dropped it. It just slipped through his hands. And the Whippets won by a score of 11-9. Unfortunately, this was after some very difficult late innings, and most of the crowd had gone home. An inside the park home run just beyond the second base line. People are doing busy. Yard work there in Lake Wobegon, and working hard. And maybe that's why the birth rate tends to go down in the month of March. Just no time to think about that sort of thing in June. So 9 months later in March, there's a sudden dip in the birth rate. People just don't even think about it. The love lives of mayflies and June bugs reaches a peak, and mosquitoes too, but that of man and woman seems to fall off this time of year. They're just way too tired. They're just sunburnt. They're mosquito bitten, and they've gotten a look at themselves in shorts and a t-shirt, and they feel unattractive. Last of the graduation parties taking place around Lake Wobegon, and the Torvaldsens held theirs for their daughter Amy, the last girl, and now the grandchildren are going to be coming along in a few years. They held it in their garage and in their backyard. They borrowed 100 chairs from the church, and about that many people came, sat for half an hour, 45 minutes, before they went on to the next graduation party and handed her envelopes with cash in them, and had a little Mexican hot dish and some chocolate cake. They had big tubs of pop and beer. She got a tablet for a graduation gift, and she handed it to her great-grandfather, Senator Kay Torvaldsen, the oldest man in town, who was there. She thought he would be confused by this, but he was just tapping some of the icons there, and when she came back, he was looking at video of women in their underwear dancing on tables and was deeply engrossed in it. A 97-year-old man looking at cheesy videos. She just couldn't bear the thought. She just went down to the beach with her friends. All the girls, all the young men dashed down to the beach. The women unrolled their towels there and they put on sunscreen, and the men dashed into the water because it's still very cold. And that's the only way to go in, if you're ever going to go in, is to not think about it, to live life, to go straight in and get it over with in just an instant. Mr. Clint Bunsen wanted to get away from graduation parties and from all the turmoil and all of the children running loose in town now that school is over, so he went out to the Bunsen family cabin, this historic structure, this family museum out there on Lake Wobegon. He just wanted to sit on the porch and listen to the water lapping against the pier and have a beer or two and sit in the porch and fall asleep and just close his eyes and feel this old cabin settle around him. Built in 1905, his great-grandfather built this, 1905, without much being done to it in the meantime. They put in some running water, they put in a toilet, but that's about it. They didn't paint the interior whatsoever, just bare walls and rafters and all of these historic objects from the past, old books that you read when you were in grade school, and a bulletin board on one wall with all the pictures of your kids and their cousins and their swimming and their diving and their holding up big fish for the picture, and they're sitting around a campfire and their faces are all lit up by the flames. Pictures which made him so sad because it seemed like yesterday, but in fact, it's a long, long time ago. The cabin is full of ghosts. He feels ghosts of old men grumbling and complaining about whatnot. And then they were silenced when their women brought out fresh pies and set them on the table. They had no response to fresh pies, the goodness of life right there in front of them. The great-grandfather who built the cabin in 1905 died in the influenza epidemic of 1918. He had enlisted in the army and he went off to New Jersey and he died out there in just a couple of horrible days of high fever, and was given a full military funeral and his body brought back. His grandfather founded Bunsen Motors in 2 years after that, in 1920. He was a big, happy man who loved circuses and parades, and he founded the 4th of July parade in Lake Wobegon. And then he finally died in 1954, and he did not want to. He did not know how to do it, he became sullen and angry, and when the parade marched right past his porch to honor him, he refused to get up and wave to it. He died with a curse on his lips. He simply did not want to leave this world. For his father, Clint joined the Sons of Canute Lodge as a favor to his dad, and he learned all of the ridiculous rituals that you have to know. If a Canute taps you on the forehead, you have to say, Erst West Yema Best, Go Altiv Lia Yem. East or west, home is best, always go straight home. And then you turn around and you walk 5 paces in the other direction. And then if he gives the Canute cry, Oh yeah, then you're supposed to turn around and come back and tap him on the forehead. And then he is supposed to say, Podoma day er vi alleluia, on judgment day, are we all alike? And you would each take your right hand and you would hold out your pinky and crook it, and you would grab hold of each other's pinky and pull and let out a small but precise fart. And this struck Clint as such a stupid thing, sacred and venerable, but nonetheless truly dumb, that when his dad died, he just stopped going to the Sons of Canute. And that was back in 1997. His dad died 1997. He had a golf date with some college friends, and he went off to the course, and he played 18 holes, and even though he didn't feel well, and then he was going back to the clubhouse, and he said, you know, I've played worse golf than that. And those were his last words. He just fell down, lay down, and died. Right there. His last 2.5 hours on this earth were spent telling little jokes and placing bets and smoking that cigar that drove his wife crazy whenever she saw it in his mouth. That was how he ended his life. Not the worst round of golf I ever played, and then you lie down and you die. I am sitting next door to Clint Bunsen's family cabin. He can't see me because I've not taken the boards off this side of the porch that faces his porch, and so I sit behind them, and I am sitting there reading a book, which makes me very sleepy, and it feels wonderful to sit there. Other people in my family are off bicycling and hiking, and they talk about wanting to go on an active, adventurous vacation this summer. And I'm happy to sit. I'm happy to do that. I've been on adventurous vacations. There was that disastrous week on the Faroe Islands off the coast of Norway, and Barbados, the sunburn vacation, and the long, painful flight to Australia and back. Either you have to take some drugs, which we did not have at the time, or you have to get first-class tickets and pay the equivalent of what you'd pay for a 3-bedroom rambler, or you sit in back like a prisoner in chains, and it's a remarkable trip. I remember the miserable trip to the Boundary Waters canoe area up in the wilderness of northern Minnesota, where we ate dry paste from plastic packets, and this food turned to stone in our bowels. And the toilets were right out in the open, where everybody could see you struggling to move your bowels. We lay awake at night, and we listened for bears. We were clutching an aerosol can. We were scratching bites from mosquitoes the size of hummingbirds. And all told, I think I would be very happy just to sit on a porch. Let other people go to the Faroe Islands, where there are no trees and where everything tastes of fish. I think I will just sit. I will sit on the porch and let my eyes get heavy as I read about somebody's African adventure and lay my head on a on a pillow and evacuate the world for an hour or two. You feel sleepy? I do. I'm going to go sit down. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.